we've done. And I don't know if Lori says I'm an odd personality, but I think it's just because I wear sparkle shoes. So, anybody pull up sparkle shoes? Anyone wear my eyes? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, my family says they would walk 10 feet behind me just not to be associated with my shoes. But I do really want to welcome you here, and I want you to congratulate yourself that you're here, that we are here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time away. I pray right now, I lift every family that is represented by a woman here in this room, that you would keep peace at home, Lord, that you would minister to our families that are away, that you would allow us this time to be carved out, to seek you and to hear from you. And we come before you with expectation that we are going to hear from the great I Am this weekend. Lord, we ask that you would take the story of Ruth and show us how it impacts us today. And Lord, just as you had a plan in Ruth's life, you have a plan in our life. We thank you for this weekend, and we thank you for this time. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, let's open up our text. Go ahead and open up with me to Ruth chapter 1. You'll be excited to know I only have about 25 pages of notes, and I have five verses. Okay, yes. This is the true story of Ruth. How many times can we look at these examples in the Word and think that your story is out? But you know what? Right now, in this moment, you're living your story. It may not be recorded in the Word of God, but it will be remembered as who you stood for. We get to open this story up and read about the real-life story of Ruth. And what I love about this example is it starts as we talk. It starts about this precious relationship between Naomi and her daughter-in-law. And one of the things that I will tell you right off the bat, the thing that hit me right off the bat, is that these women were broken, which is my topic, lovely. I love relevance. Relevance is such a great broken. This is what I get. I love it. I always like, thank you, Johnny. Thank you. These women were broken, but they were not forgotten. And sometimes in our brokenness, we can think that we have been forgotten, but I want to assure you we have not. As we open up our text, so how many of you guys are reader out louders? Like when you're in small groups, they say, open this passage and read it out loud, please. I'm not a good reader out louder in English, and there's some foreign names in here, so can we just have forgiveness ahead of time? And now I'm not a great reader out louder, especially, I even write them phonetically out in my notes, so just bear with me. So, verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the days where the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Naaman and Chilion. Childless widows. You couldn't really get lower than that. And I was kind of parts. And here's what I'm telling you. We don't know. So many times, I think of the conversations I'm going to have with the Lord in heaven. About, you know, like all my questions. One of the ones that I want to know is some of my why questions. Anybody ever have why questions? Why did this happen? Sometimes we don't know, but this is what we do know. Hebrews 12:5-6 says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those who he loves, and he chastens everyone who he accepts as a son. It's confirmation. Not pleasant, not the way that we would choose it, but it's confirmation. But Romans 8 also tells us that God is for us. Tell me that, does that just excite you? Sometimes I need to remind myself out loud, God is for me. He is not against me. He's in our God is for me. He is not against me. And that remembrance, when we talk about this brokenness, this loss, what I want to say in this example of Naomi and her daughters, these were losses of people that were near and dear to them. But loss comes in many forms. You can have loss over a broken relationship in your life. You can have loss of a career that you were so excited about and felt so called into, and yet the door closes. You can have loss of a real-life trauma in your childhood. You can have loss of a dear friend in a relationship that was fractured. Loss looks different for all of us. Loss also affects all of us. And I think that we can look at brokenness in three different kinds of situations. One, we can try the very best that we can do to empathize with others that are hurting around us. Because we find ourselves that we truly haven't experienced a deep loss. I remember a moment in time where I really was like, life is so good at this moment. Like, so good at this moment. I remember even saying out loud to my husband, I can't remember a time where we have been happier in our lives. Those seasons are beautiful and they're wonderful. I always laugh because we were bumping and broke. We were broke. I couldn't even buy the E on that one. We were so broke. We were broke, but we were happy. And we were new believers. Pretty new in our life. And 24 hours later, my life was shook to its core. One day, I could try really hard to empathize with people who had great loss, but to be honest, I couldn't truly identify with it. But my world changed in a 24-hour period of time. 24 hours from that conversation with my husband, I was on the way to the U of A, dropping off my kids at the babysitter, and I was getting my son out here in Tucson. And instantaneously, my 4-year-old daughter, Tiffany, passed away. 24 hours from my discussion of unable to empathize with people who have had great loss. I had a conversation with my 24-year-old daughter not that long ago, and she said to me, you know, Mom, I look at people who have been greatly wounded that have incredible testimonies. And she cried, and I thought it was an empathetic cry towards me. Having a moment. She's identifying with me. She's getting me to get older. Better. Sometimes you still, oh Lord, have mercy, I could go out tonight. And we're having a moment. And I thought, she gets me. She's understanding what we've worked through. Because she came about after the life. Okay? And so the life that Sarah led was very different than the other two kids. Actually, I was all kind of crazy. But she looked at me and she was like, people who've been greatly wounded have great testimonies. And she was crying and I was like, oh baby, I know. She's like, what's wrong with me? Because I've had a child life. I've had a great life. I've had great parents. I went to Christian schools. Everything that I've ever really ever wanted has come true. We have a close family. And she's like, nothing's ever happened to me. Almost as if her faith wasn't as real and true as mine. And here's what I want to encourage you. I'll pray about your life. And I'll pray over her, yes and amen. I don't want her to go through what I've gone through. But if you haven't been hit by great loss, it's possible 24 hours can change everything. Therefore, while we have not experienced loss like that, 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5 says, praise God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He conforms us into our troubles so that we can comfort, He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Yes? That's where we're to comfort others, with the comfort that we've been given. The second area that we can find ourselves in when we're looking at deep loss is a recent wounding. A recent wounding. When we go back at Ruth chapter 1 and 20, and I'm stealing thunder for tomorrow, but Naomi says after all of this loss, she says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the old man has dealt very bitterly with me. Meaning, she found God was against her. You may be feeling this way too. And I want to assure you, God has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. He knew before the beginning of time everything that was going to come to pass in your life. And he has surrounded you and given you the ability to walk through things you never thought was possible to walk through before you were head on with it. Supply demands. It's not a reservoir in our lives, but when we need it, God provides our every need. For me, I recall the conversation in this season of my grief with a dear friend of mine. And I was trying to explain verbally what I was feeling so desperately emotionally. And I remember feeling at this time that my heart was hemorrhaging. You know, it seems out of nature to lose a child. And to lose a child like Tiffany was tough. So I rattled out that. Into those 4 years. Don't lose myself. Sorry. It's my hair. But I couldn't wear it up today. Okay, my back? Okay, thank you. I remember feeling wounded, hemorrhaging from my heart, trying to just focus on my next breath. I know that there are women in this room with the staff of the gathering that we have tonight that are walking this evening in a very wounded state. Your loss is recent. Your loss is bitter. Your loss is gut-wrenching. I know what that is. I want to encourage you. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted, and bandages their wounds. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away the tears from your eyes. There shall be no more death, neither shall there be any more sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. The third area that we might find ourselves with loss, right? We might not, our first area was we really haven't experienced it, but we're trying to be empathetic with people. The second way is we're in the middle of our woundedness right now. And can I just say, sister, praise the Lord that you are here in the midst of your suffering. Amen. I'm telling you that the third place that we can such a saying, time heals all wounds. I do not agree. Only God can truly heal our deepest of wounds. I can remember my mom's words. I lost my mom this May. But I can remember my mom's words even now, saying things to me like, baby, pick yourself up by bootstraps. Or, work, don't worry. Or, your perspective is your reality. My mom taught me how to be a very positive thinker. And for that, I'm very grateful, because I am a cup half full. I mean, how could you not be worthy too? So, but I found myself with a new coping mechanism. The obvious deep wounded loss of my daughter was not something that I wanted to really deal with. So I put it in a cubby. Ever do that? Ever have a wound too deep? Just put it away. I'm just going to put it away. I'll think about that later. Because remember, we live loud lives. Where's my loud life, people? We live these loud lives, so we put this in the cubby. Then I found that that behavior, work, don't worry, pick yourself out of your bootstraps, keep on going, your perspective is your reality, and all of these things that kept me marching along in life. One day, the vision that I had was this. Went to Saguaro High School in Tucson, where every building was exactly the same. And when you walked down the hall, you walked down the hall of Saguaro and the hallways, and there was lockers lying both sides of the hallways, and they were three lockers packed, right? Lockers, lockers, lockers. And what I realized as a 50-year-old woman is I was walking through life and blocked every pain, every hurt, everything into these lockers. And I was walking because I was working, not worrying. But I looked around and all my woundedness was still there. But it was locked away, put away. And what I'm going to tell that group is 12 years ago, in this very room, I heard a message that changed my life. And it's what I'm going to tell you right now. And it forever changed me. Our pain can actually bring about a gain for the Lord. I'm going to move you on to John 11, 1 through 4. And John chapter 11, I'm going to talk to you guys about Lazarus. If you're new to the Word of God, Lazarus, spoiler alert, he dies. And Jesus brings him back to life. Then. But there's a couple things in here I want to point out. I have 10 quick spots I'm going to go through to share with you about how this story can change our perspective. And by the way, this is a real life account of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Out of John 11, just FYI, I'm going to share this through the NIV. I don't know, I think in the NIV. I'm sorry. I know Robert's not here. Sorry. But the rest of the stuff I did in New King James. I'm just going to the NIV now. Okay. What's he going to do? I don't know. Turn the mic off? Okay. Now, John 11, 1 through 4 says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, her sister. This Mary is the one brothers Lazarus now lay sick with, the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So these sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. He said, when he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, no, it is for God's glory, so that the God's Son may be glorified through it. My point on this is it's for God's glory. This is for God's glory. And by the way, Jesus loved Martha and Mary. And he loved Lazarus. They had a real relationship. In my own personal, when I look at loss being for God's glory, my own personal grief journey, I remember begging and bargaining with God for a season. If he would just bring my daughter back. And by the way, I truly believed that he could. I was a newer believer, but I believed that God could bring her back. And he could erase from everybody's memory that she was ever brought. And I remember thinking, as my bargaining, this is the life I'll live once you do this. Right? This, you do this, and then I'm going to do this, and this is going to be great. And I went to sleep, and I woke with crushing pain. But that prayer was not answered. But I can also remember speaking the words back to him that morning, laying in that bed, opening my eyes, and knowing she was And I cried out to the Lord, and I said, nevertheless, your will, not mine. Because if you're not going to bring her back, and he clearly wasn't, use this pain to its fullest extent. Pastor Robert did her services, and this was a long time ago. He was a young pastor, not that he's old, sorry, Catholic. He's kind of getting older. But it was when he was a young pastor, and I can remember looking at him and hearing him trying to get my confidence in this funeral service from him. And I'm looking at him, and he's really, you know, doesn't really know what to say to us. And I just remember saying, he says, what do you want me to share? And I said, I want you to share the message of salvation. Because if this is not going to change, we filled an entire church. Calvary was still really small back then. But I being a nurse and my husband being a police officer, we had a full police escort. And it was something to be seen. But that church was full of people that heard the salvation message. And that was my hope. If it's going to hurt this bad, then let's use it for God's glory. Chapter 11, 5 and 6 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when they heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. What? Like, what? God's ways are not our ways. But at this point, I want to tell you that Jesus loved them. He had a personal relationship with them. This is where we see that God's delay is not his denial. Who needed to hear that tonight? His delay is not his denial. Jesus' response may seem harsh, especially knowing the love that he had for this particular family. He knew the outcome. They didn't. We need to remember God's ways are not our ways, and we need to trust in him. Jump all the way down to me to verses 14 through 16. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, all right, let's go with him, that we may die with him. I can't go into explaining what all that meant. But I will tell you that point number 3 is Jesus' response to our circumstances in a way that is for our sake, that we may believe stronger and deeper and trust him more. Verses 17 to 31 says over here, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days, which is significant. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home, these sisters. Okay, so here's the thought. I found 2 age spots about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. This is tangent, maybe. I found these 2 age spots on my face, and I did what all women do when they find their first age spot. Do you know what that is? I named them. They're here, we should get to know each other. So because they were side by side, I named them Mary and Martha. Because I was like, they hang out all the time, and they're both a little bit different from each other, so it just made sense. I'm just saying, if you haven't gotten an age spot yet, when it comes, name them. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had just been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. That is not what Jesus was talking about. Point number 4 is Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him will live even though he dies. This is our blessed assurance, sisters. For those of you in the room today that do not understand this concept, when you die, you are going somewhere. When you know Jesus, and he is your Lord and Savior, and you pass from this world to the next, you will be reunited with him. My encouragement to you in this room tonight is if you do not know if you have made that decision, let today be the day of your salvation. Just as this day 12 years ago was significant for me. There's no bigger day of significance than the day that you asked Jesus into your heart. We move on now to 32 to 37. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." I wonder if Jesus was like, "I've heard that before." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Point number 5 is this beautiful verse that Jesus wept. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He was experiencing grief and, I'm sure, empathy from Mary and Martha. And here's the thing, you guys, here's the thing. He knows Mary and Martha like he knows you and me. He loves us like he loves them. They had a relationship with Jesus, and so do we. And Jesus wept. He had empathy. When we move on to 36, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could he not have opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus once more was deeply moved, came to the womb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. He said, "Take away the stone," he said. "But the Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there was a bad odor, for he had been there 4 days." There's a common understanding back then that the people at 3 days, that it's possible they could come back to life. But that 4th day was not an option. And I love the King James Version says, "He stinketh." He stinketh. Point number 6, Jesus directs us, even when we think we know better. She's like, "Jesus, the body stinketh. It's been 4 days. Like, we don't want to open that stone." Jesus directs us, even when we think that we know better. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" Point number 7, if we believe, we will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, and that they may believe that you have sent me." Point number 8, Jesus is grateful, acknowledges that God hears him, and did it also that we would have the benefit and that we would believe. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped in strips of linen, and the cloth was around his face. Point number 9, Jesus gives direct and simple commands. Come out. He is the resurrection and commands with resurrection power. Point number 10 is in verse 44. And this is where I'm going to bring this section to a close. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Think of this thought. I thought this thought. They used to prepare the bodies when someone would die in this day, and they would wrap them in linens, and they had ointments and things that they put on the bodies to help with the stinking. And they would wrap these bodies up. And think about, they did it with love. These were family members that would go out and prepare these bodies after death. And here Jesus says to Lazarus, very clearly, very directly, "Come out." And Lazarus comes out, but he's shackled with death clothes. Very different than the resurrection of Christ, who came out and it was all folded. Remember? Poof. Very different. He wasn't shackled. Lazarus was. The command here was to help him take off his death clothes. That's where you and I come in. He didn't tell Lazarus, "Come out and take your death clothes off." He said, "Come out and help him take his death clothes off." That same woman that tenderly, graciously, lovingly, 4 days earlier prepared that body that had died, now are standing witness to one of the most amazing resurrections that ever happened. who Jesus loved, Mary and Martha, are there taking his death clothes off and releasing him from the bindings of death. I sat in this room 12 years ago, and I heard that message to take the death clothes off, and I realized that my grief journey was the last thing that I felt that I was carrying of my sweet daughter Tiffany was my grief. And I thought, if I let the grief go, what do I have left? I was terrified because I had become familiar. Say familiar. I had become familiar with my grief. This was one that may have been locked in a locker, but be clear, I carried it with me wherever I went. It went with me every day. To this day, it still does. But I grieve unlike people who don't know Jesus, because I grieve with hope and assurance. That night, people came alongside me, and they helped me take my death clothes off. And we're going to give you an opportunity, if that is you tonight, to have that same opportunity. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." For those of you in this room that have not experienced loss and grief, will you be the ones now that comfort those around you that have? For those of you right now that are surrounded in the midst of your pain and find yourself waiting on the Lord to take your very next breath, will you call out to Him who can bring you peace? He brings it through His presence in your life. He will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not going to park there unless you choose to. For those of you that you've been wearing your own grave clothes, whether it's a loss of a relationship, a family member, I want to ask you, have you been wearing your death clothes for way too long? Will you today pray and release the pain that only the Lord is equipped to carry? You are never, ever intended to carry it. Because here's the real truth, guys. When God sent His Son to die on the cross for me and for you, in that moment, we are invited to live a life of resurrection. We're redeemed. And in that, we should live lives that look redemptive, that have been regained. We're going to play a worship song now. I'm going to pray. We're going to play a worship song. And what we want to do right now is to encourage you. I don't know where you are, but I know that we might be in one of these places. Learning to increase our empathy for others. We also might be in our own deep grief. Or we may have come to the realization that I've carried this way too long. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you. You've got some opportunities tomorrow. There's a table in the foyer tonight. There's opportunities tomorrow during your quiet time or your free time to have prayer, appointed prayer time with somebody that is going to be able to relate to your situation. So the women in that group have very clearly, they're going to ask you what your needs are, and they're going to match you with someone who can pray with you. I encourage you, guys, if you've done all the work to get here this weekend, if you've moved the mountains and created all the flow charts for everybody, made all the meals and put them in the freezer, and you've got everything numbered and organized, if you've done that much, do not leave this place where you are not completely restored with the Lord. Let me pray, and we're going to worship.